All right. Well, guys, I don't have anything specific I wanted to go over. So let me run through the list here and ask you guys what's going on, and maybe we'll dive into some subjects after that. For those of you who didn't see the post, I'll do my best to describe what's going on with Leonard. Leonard's got a weird kind of swinger lifestyle sex drama shit going on with some of the chicks in his life. So you have this one girl who, she's single. Her name's Chrissy, right?
Yes, Chrissy.
Okay, and Chrissy introduced you to another chick who's in an open marriage named who?
Lisa.
Lisa, got it. So Chrissy, even though she introduced you to Lisa, would be jealous if she found out you fucked Lisa, which makes no sense to me, but that's correct, yes?
Yes.
And Lisa wants to fuck you, but she's worried that Chrissy and her husband would be jealous, correct?
Yes. Oh, and also to make it interesting, Chrissy and Lester, the husband, have already fucked a few times.
Oh, so Chrissy's fucked Lester. All right.
Yes.
Not a creepy name at all.
So if I get caught, it'd be like, hey, I'm just fucking around with everybody else you're fucking with.
So you don't know Lester? Never met him?
Oh, I've met Lester. We've actually become buddies.
Oh, okay. Then would he have any issue with you fucking his wife or Chrissy?
He has no issue with me fucking Chrissy. He's seen me making out and groping and fondling his wife's tits and everything else.
Oh, okay. Well, you left that part of the story out. That's super important. So then he's seen you do that. Just pull him aside next time you're with him and be like, I really want to fuck your wife. Why don't we set something up with the four of us, you guys, me and Chrissy, and then you guys can just all fuck. Obviously, you're not going to do anything with Lester, just to make sure anyone on the call is sure about that. But that's typically how these situations go. Why can't you just do that?
Oh, I'm gonna try to set that up. But also, in the meantime, looks like she's going to come. I've got a trip. Work trip that's a couple hours away. Looks like she's going to come out this week and fuck me in the meantime.
Okay. Cool. Well, you're set to go on that. Anyone have any questions on that?
I never would have thought I'd be here doing this shit, Robbie, when I started with you guys.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, Leonard. You should create a profile if you haven't already on Lifestyle Lounge and Cassidy, and that way you can be abreast of all the upcoming other sort of events that fall under this category. Good way to meet people.
That's what I'm going to do.
It's
going to be interesting because I'm traveling a lot too.
Oh yeah, they have these events all over the place. They've got cruises, they've got parties. There's a big community of these people who want to fuck a lot. So.
Yeah, I just got invited to take a trip in January to Jamaica.
All right. Probably a pretty good one. So, some of you guys, I think David, that's probably David on Skype. We went through your text messaging thread on Tuesday. And in case anyone doesn't know, every Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, we're doing texting webinars, Texting Tuesdays. So Tyler co-hosted the last one with me. And we basically just go through any text message threads that you guys post in the group and give you feedback on why and how they suck and what you can do better. So far, we've gone through probably 7 examples, and I've got the videos posted on the site. If you go to they're under the podcast link. So if you go to innerconfidence.com/podcast, you can see all the recorded calls and also those texting webinars. We went through a couple of Thomas's. So Thomas, I know you're on the call. If you haven't watched those yet, make sure you do. We went through Ryan's, we went through one of Sherbon's. And I know some of you guys requested to see some better examples, like, you know, actual text threads that are good. So I'll have a couple for you guys on Tuesday. But I really, really recommend you guys can be on the call. Whoever is on the call live, I'm going to give priority to. So if you post a text thread and you show up to the call live, I'm going to go through yours over someone else who posted and who doesn't come to the call live. And if anyone has a special exemption or a reason why I should change that, one-off reasons, like someone being in Australia, like David, let me know and I'll make an exception. All right. So who's got questions? What do you guys need to learn about? What do you need to know? What are those dying questions that you've always wanted to ask that you never have about anything out of everything?
So I'm still saying shit like, and I'm still parroting the girl. I watched the video that I recorded, and it's stupid, and I don't know why I'm doing it, but what do you suggest as an exercise to stop saying, like, oh, really, and that kind of bullshit?
So all of those filler words, really, stuff, yeah, those are all a symptom of nervousness. The nervousness is manifesting in your body. It's in there like a volcano dying to come out, and it comes out in the form of nervous twitches, saying stupid shit, and filler words. If you feel that sensation in your body, it will come out. So the only way to get rid of it is to continue approaching, so you desensitize yourself to any of the nervousness. Consistently catch yourself using those filler words, and pretty soon, right before one of those stupid things comes out of your mouth, you'll stop, you'll catch it, and you'll resist the temptation. Approach more. The more you approach, the faster you'll get rid of it.
Okay, I'm willing to be in on the approach test, no problem.
Cool, we'll just give you a number. Yeah, you know, that's a little bit harder to achieve. Awesome. Who else has got questions?
I got a couple, actually. Oh, yeah, this one's kind of embarrassing, man. So occasionally, I get sweaty palms. How do you deal with that?
I get them,
you know, from being nervous.
Yeah, I get them, too. I also get really shaky, jittery hands. So the good thing about sweaty palms is no one's going to see them unless they feel them, right? And it's not like you're going to be, you know, touching someone that much right off the bat with your sweaty palms. So as long as, you know, you just don't, like, shake people's hands in the beginning of an approach with a chick. And even if you do, like, she's probably not even going to notice. I don't know how sweaty they get.
They're not too bad, but, you know, it's enough for self-conscious for sure.
And so just fist pound instead of handshaking when it comes to meeting chicks. Well, don't introduce yourself at all right? Let them introduce themselves if they want to. And if they do, fist pound them. Don't shake hands.
All right.
And that will, not introducing yourself will be good because it also makes you look like you don't give a fuck.
Okay.
It's actually a better play.
Okay, I can see that. All right, thanks.
Yeah. All right, good. Some good questions there. Who else has questions? Fire them away.
I have a question. So when you're in a conversation and, you know, sometimes it will be flowing well, what if there's a lull in the conversation? Should you just carry it on, like 90% of the conversation should be on you?
Is this in a bar situation, a date?
More in like initial approach, like yesterday I was at that event and I was talking to this girl and it was fine for 5 minutes, but later on find that I had to carry most of the conversation. So is that something which is kind of like carrying a tryhard, or, you know, there are just some cases where you will have to carry out most of the burden of the conversation?
All right. So have you read the bar game flowchart?
Not really.
I want you guys to use this resource more. So if you log into intercommons.com/leverage program and you look at the different options, you'll see the module 4 is night game. So it makes sense the bar game flowchart would be somewhere in there. You click on that one and you'll see it right there, bar game flowchart. So Derek, the only way you would get stuck in a conversation for 5 minutes where it's dying and she's not contributing at all is because you're stuck in a conversation that's not going anywhere because you failed to move things forward. You failed to escalate. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about overall. You haven't led the conversation towards a romantic place, and now you're in that no man's land situation where it's awkward for her to walk away. You want to continue talking to her. She might be attracted to you, or she might just not be. Maybe she's shy, and that's why she's not contributing to the conversation. And you'll find this a lot with Eastern European girls. Like, it's crazy. You'll have to talk to them for like 30 minutes before they'll even mutter like two words. So if there's somewhere where you should go to practice your conversation skills, it's Eastern Europe, because these bitches won't give you anything. They'll sit there and smile and nod, or not even smile. They'll just nod, but that doesn't mean they don't want to fuck. In the US, it means that they don't want to fuck. It's the opposite over there. In the US, it's trust what they do, disregard anything they say. In Eastern Europe, it's disregard anything they do and trust exactly what they say. So unless she's explicitly said, leave me alone, don't talk to me, I have a boyfriend, I don't want to fuck you, you know, in Europe, you're still good. If she's standing there giving you her attention, you're good. In the U.S., she might say all those things while like showing you physical love, and that also means you're good. So it's like opposite day, which is why I like to take you guys there. So first of all, Derek, were you dealing with an American chick or a fresh off the boat Ukrainian or Russian or Serbian or what? Do you know?
This girl was, she was from Vietnam, and, she was, she spoke fairly good English, so I'm assuming she has been here for at least a couple of years.
Okay. Fairly good in English, so not perfect. All right, well, I don't have a ton of experience with Asian immigrants. I know, like, straight-up Bobby Asians and Americanized Asians. But the tweeners are sometimes harder to deal with because, you know, it's harder to see the pattern. I'm guessing she was still into you. She was interested if she was there. But because, you know, you hadn't attempted to do anything, essentially what the bar game flowchart is it's a way to gauge their interest. You're giving them different opportunities to invest in the conversation and in the interaction. And if they don't take them over and over and over, it's safe to say that they're never going to take them. So you should cut your losses and not waste any more time with them. So I really urge you to study that and implement that as much as you can. It's something that, that would be really, really beneficial for you guys to implement earlier on, you know, in while you're out of the bar. It's like, even a guy like Sherbon, who's been a client of mine for over 2 years, he still fucks up the bar game flowchart 9 out of 10 times. And the reason why I'm very successful at taking girls home from the bar is because I follow that, those principles, and I follow that guide. And, you know, if I have my heart set on bringing a girl home and banging her from the bar, it's only going to take me between 5 and 10 approaches to make sure that happens. And 10 approaches can be a lot of approaches in one night. But, you know, if I hit on 10 girls, the odds of me not bringing a girl home and banging her that night are very, very small.
What's the timing on you pulling her from the bar? Does it have to be the end of the night, or, you know, that here that'd be 2 a.m. when the bar closes, or can you pull them out before then? How does that work?
No, I mean, remember when we originally met in Phoenix, and I was, I think you probably met Raquel, the girl who I banged from the bar that night, right?
Right, I know her, yeah.
I pulled her out of the bar at like 10:30, and we started at some place called like Devil's Martini. I don't even know if it's still there. Probably not. We started at Devil's Martini, and then we proceeded to go to like 2 other bars. And if you check out the bar game flowchart, you'll notice that it's very similar to the dating protocol. So once you get them out of that venue, now you're on a date. So, you know, you meet a girl at 10:15, and, you know, you move around the bar, you share a drink, you make out with her, and you get her to leave her friends. Now you're actually on a first date, and you switch, and it says it right there in the bar game protocol. The very last step is dating protocol. If anyone's logged in and looking at it.
So you can... As soon as you can get her away from her friends and move around, just like the bar game flowchart, that's the girl you can probably pull home, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, let's say I'm out and, you know, done a few approaches, gotten a few numbers. It's like 11:15, and I meet a girl who's like, you know, let's say I've smartly positioned myself close to the bathroom by the bar. So one great place to stand, depending on the bar, is you want to stand at the bar as close to the bathroom as you can. And what'll happen is you'll be able, don't stop girls who are on their way to the bathroom, but you can stop girls who are on their way back from the bathroom. If they're passing by the bar, you can stop them right there, right? You stop them before they go to the bathroom, it's obvious they're going to be pulled away. And they probably really have to pee. Let's say I stopped her right there. Her friends are all back. It's somewhere else in the bar. They don't know where she is. I don't know where they are. I start chatting with her. We're flirting. We're bullshitting. You know, and if you go to step one, or not step one, but if you go to the part where you're getting positive love from her, now you want to essentially isolate, and you already have her isolated because, well, she's there alone. But you want to isolate her in a different part of the bar, right? So you'd be like, hey, well, let's grab a drink. And then you guys have a drink together. Well, now you're on a date, right? And if you want to continue that on, I would then attempt to move her to a different bar. And that's when I'll have to deal with her friends if necessary. If she doesn't care about her friends, then she'll just ditch her friends. If she does care about her friends, she'll be like, let me go introduce you to my friends. I don't know if I can go. I got to, you know, see what they're doing. Then I'd go over to the friends and make some, you know, I'd introduce myself and say something silly like, hey, I'm going to kidnap your friend. We're going to grab a drink next door. Don't worry. I'll deliver her safely. You know, I'll deliver the package safely within 15 minutes. And, once you get her out of that environment into that next bar, you should be golden. Then you take her to another bar, and then you take her home. Who else has questions?
I have a question. when it comes to having confidence, I've noticed that at times when I have more confidence, and I have an I don't give a fuck attitude, I end up getting more successful at approaching, or I'm more successful at getting phone numbers or follow-up dating. But a lot of times I have to be drinking or intoxicated to get to that point. What do you suggest I could do as like either a discipline or some type of an exercise mentally or something to train my brain to be that confident and have that same I don't give a fuck attitude when I'm not drinking? That's my question.
Do more embarrassing shit when you're sober. If you want to learn how to not give a fuck, then you have to do shit that makes you look really weird. The person I know who is very, very good at making himself look weird and not giving a fuck is Sasha Daygame, a friend of mine. He's got a couple exercises that I think are good to use. Very similar to things I've done in the past too. You know, these are fun, they're silly, don't take them seriously, and it'll definitely help with any sort of anxiety or confidence issues in public. So one of those, which I recommend, is you walk up to a, say, you know, a coffee shop with a glass window where there's people sitting and, you know, mulling about inside, and you put your face super close up to the glass, you make a retarded expression, and you open your mouth a little, and you just kind of move your eyes from side to side. You don't have to make eye contact with anyone, but you just move your eyes side to side, looking around like a retard. It'll probably take 5 to 10 seconds for people to notice you doing that, but you just continue standing there with your legs spread apart, maybe in like a slightly pigeon-toed stance, with your arms like straight down to your side, looking around like a fucking retard. Can you picture that?
Yeah.
And eventually, if you do that for about 5 minutes, you'll really not give a fuck. Worst case scenario, if someone comes out and like, you know, yells at you to stop, you can just waddle away like a retard would.
All right.
It's an exercise that, you know, I've done very similar things. I haven't done this exact one. I'm happy to go out and do it. I think it'd be funny. And it's great if you can do it with a buddy and you guys can do it side by side and see who breaks first. The first one to crack up or lose their composure or to get too awkward and walk away loses. So you guys can bet on it, whatever you want. But the face on the glass like a retard, basically you put your forehead on the glass and you press your nose up against it, open your mouth, and just look around for 5 minutes. So that's a pretty good one.
I'm just picturing that. It's making me laugh. Okay.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I got another one here for you. Let me find it. I got it written down somewhere. All right, here's the next one. Call it the nose pick. So you're going to walk up to any person, stop them. You can say, excuse me, with a smile. Once they're stopped and you have their full attention, I want you to place your right index finger fully inside of your nostril and begin picking as you ask them directions to the nearest subway, bus stop, whatever you want. Continue picking as they give you the direction and say thanks and walk off.
Holy shit.
Another one you could do is walk up to anybody, although try to look for a cute girl. Stop them, get their attention with a smile and a hi, then explain that you don't know the area that well, but you're looking for somewhere you can get a chlamydia test or an STD test.
Oh my God.
Whatever they tell you, look directly into their eyes, stare awkwardly for a few seconds, and then with, because Billy burns. And then stare.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Like saying something or running.
I don't want to see that video recorded. That's hilarious.
So stop them. Hey, excuse me. Excuse me. You know where I can get a chlamydia test. Because it really burns. So, if you want to one up the nose pick one, basically what you do is, so you stop them, you get their attention, say hi, and instead of asking for the nearest bus stop, train station, whatever, say, hey, so here's, before you start nose picking, you stop them and say, hey, so, and find a couple, right? Do it to a couple. Be like, hey, sorry to bug you guys. You seem like a really, well put together couple. I recently broke up with my ex and I'm trying to get back together with her and I'm looking for a really good gift. Do you guys have any ideas of what I could get her or where I could go? And while you're doing that, start picking your nose. And then continue rambling on. Be like, you know, it sucks because like things were going really well with her. Thought we were going to get married. I just met her mom, dad. They were really cool. Like we went golfing together and her dad was like all about me. And then, you know, like she came back and she caught like all these phone numbers and, you know, it really sucks because I was really into her. So I'm really looking for this gift. And while you're doing that, like, so you're not actually picking your nose, but you're making it look like you're picking your nose, kind of with like two fingers, like your thumb and your index finger inside of your nostrils. And then while you're doing that, you take out your thumb and your index finger and you start pretending to eat the boogers. And then, and you keep a straight face the entire time. And then at the end, you're like, you know, either way, I really want to thank you guys. Enjoy your day. And then you reach out your hand and you take your hand with the hand you're just picking your nose.
Oh my God. That's insane.
You'd be very surprised how many people still shake your hand.
Wow.
So, if you want to get over your fucking sober social anxiety, do the nose pick exercise, do the retard on the glass exercise, and do the STD test exercise. You should be feeling it after that. There's not a whole lot you can really be embarrassed about after that.
Yeah, I see that. I get that. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
I think.
I'd love for some of you guys to do that. I mean, if you guys want to do it with me, game. I've done them, so.
Wow. All right.
Who else has a question?
Would you agree that even for me, that's like the best way to proceed? Is just keep on doing the direct approaches and, you know, maybe do like hundreds of them before going with the other approach you're talking about, which is being cool and more laid back.
Totally. The only time where it's not ideal to do the whole direct thing is when there's social circles consequences, right? Like, let's say you're on a trip. Let's say you go to the Hamptons with us and we're renting a house for 3 days. We're filling it with a bunch of chicks and you know that everyone's going to be friends by the end of the trip and everyone's going to be hanging out. If you go direct on a couple girls right in the beginning, like, and it doesn't go well, word's going to spread that Derek was fucking weird. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only time when direct game is going to blow up in your face. You know, when you're going to see that person and they're going to see your friends and you're going to meet their friends. And even then, a lot of time it won't, but you know, that's the issue. In any other situation where you're not anticipating that happening, like when you're just at a restaurant, at a bar, in a shop, at the beach, on the sidewalk, go direct, right? It's just so much more efficient. You get way more out of the experience, even if it doesn't go well. You give less of a fuck. You know where you stand. Like it's better in almost every single way. You know, the better you get, the less you need to be direct with your words, because you start to realize that the game is so much more nonverbal, and you pick up on those tiny patterns. You're way better at expressing attraction and desire through your eyes. You're giving off that sexual vibe all the time. You're kind of resonating with the girls that are giving off that vibe. It's kind of like you see the Matrix in a way. This is the best I can describe it right now, but it takes like a really, really long time to get to that point. You know, that's that unconscious competence stage of the game.
Another question I had is based off a last conversation we were at Isabel, and you mentioned that I should possibly go towards an accent reduction class. Do you think my time is better spent? Well, it's not a lot of time. There's a class which is going for 90 minutes a week. I can join it next month. Or would I be better off just going with approaches first and then worry about that stuff later? I hope it's not a stupid question.
No, it's not. It's a good question. I think they're both equally important. You know, obviously approaching is huge because, you know, it gives you opportunities. You're going to get more dates like that. It's going to, you know, improve your confidence. But you're going to get a lot more success on those approaches without the accent. It's kind of like, you know, my fashion sucks. Should I hit on girls and work on my fashion? Like, you know, they're both equally important. They're both like working directly towards the same goal. So I would say, you know, certainly don't wait. You know, even if it's only a small amount of time you can commit, it's better than nothing. And either way,
great
approach.
Okay.
So the other thing that I'd like to do, you know, I might be able to get my mom involved. My mom's actually a speech pathologist. And maybe I can, I'll have to talk to some of the guys who have done accent reduction. I don't think anyone on this call has done it. I know Ken has done it. Tyler has done it. Well, he didn't have an accent, but he's worked on changing his voice, which is in essence probably the same thing. But maybe I can have my mom offer that to you guys for, you know, a very specific, like, you know, dating style thing. And maybe, you know, she's not working, so I can probably finagle her into doing it for a lot cheaper than you would if you went to a normal speech pathologist. So I'm going to see her tonight, and I'll talk to her about that. I just have to get more info. Yeah.
Why are these other people doing this? Other than the accent, what are they working on?
So Tyler's voice was very feminine. When we first met him, we called him gay. You know, we're like, you're the gayest fucking dude in here. Someone always has the title of being the most gay, right? At one point it was Jason, Tyler, Dave. You know, Dave was so gay we called him Gave. you know, they just sound, their mannerisms were feminine. But so Tyler's voice was kind of high and squeaky, and he went to a speech pathologist, and he went to a singing coach too, and worked on speaking more from his diaphragm and sounding more masculine. So, you know, that wasn't an accent, or I mean, you can call it a gay accent, I don't know, but sounding different. <right? laughs> And then Perry, here's another example. Perry, who was in the group for a while, he didn't sound gay and he didn't have an accent, but he sounded like a robot. And he had a really, like, hi, I'm Perry. It's really nice to meet you.
I'm a pathologist living on the Upper East Side, and I would like to take breaks. That's exactly how he talked, like the rabbi in Seinfeld. So that's all that I can think of at the moment as far as accents go, but yeah.
Cool.
All right, well, anything else?
On the speech pathology point, I actually did it 2 years ago, and they worked on two things. I did it over a semester at GW, and one was sort of a lingering lisp that apparently I had from childhood, and the lisp itself wasn't that bad, but what it did do was make me reluctant to project my voice very loudly. So I was surprised, but the lisp actually got corrected, I think, within 2 or 3 sessions. It was very effective. The next thing that they worked on was, like Robbie said, diaphragmatic breathing. So basically just making sure that that I was inhaling all the way into sort of the abdomen and almost into the lower back, which allows you to project more, but also makes you just slow down and speak in a more deliberate sort of way. The final thing they were working on was being a little bit less monotone, and I had mixed results in that respect. I think it might have been more effective if I had done it longer, but I think a lot of the monotone is just sort of related to personality and a number of other factors. So I think that's a more complicated one, but I was quite surprised by how quickly and how effectively they can change these sorts of things with a few sessions. So it certainly helped me.
Yeah. Well, Pratik, I think you definitely still can improve on the monotone department. And there's a, I don't know if this is the right way to describe it, but there's like a jerky kind of halty cadence to your words. I'm not very good at imitating, but it would be like I'm talking like this versus just talking more laid back and chill. Like, you never sound like you're laid back and chill. You always sound like you're ready to deliver a very highly educated speech or something. I don't know if anyone else on the call can speak to that. Does anyone else on the call have any feedback for how Pratik sounds when he talks?
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound kind of like what Robbie's saying. You sound pretty formal. It's like a formal, like, cadence to the way you speak. That's all this one.
Yeah, super formal. I think that's the best way to describe it. Critiques at a black tie event, an Ivy League black tie event all the time. So, can you see that, Pratik? Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a symptom of just spending an inordinate amount of time in formal or academic settings. So I suspect that's less of a speech pathology issue and more of a lifestyle issue, if I were to guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, hang out with a bunch of construction workers for a few months and that'll probably correct itself. you know, obviously that's not realistic. You know, but spending more time with guys who are in a laid back, non-professional environment would certainly behoove you. Well, let's see. Any other questions?
So what if you're on a date with a girl and she insists on, like, telling you what she wants to do?
I would probably not be on a date with a girl like that, because there'd be a million red flags that would be visible before the date that would tip me off to the fact that she's a controlling psycho. But if, you know, you're in a place where you're probably not going to see those red flags yet, but give me a better backstory.
Oh, well, I remember, this was a while ago. I was with, I was at, like, I think Landmark, and I asked this girl out to lunch. And I was like, okay, you like this? I was trying to suggest places, but she's like, no, I want to go here. And then she went there. And then, like, I don't know, the entire, I guess she just sucked, but it was, like, she kept trying to lead everything.
Wait, I'm confused.
Oh, yeah, so, that tends to happen.
Another landmark, first of all, why'd you take her to
lunch? What?
Why'd you take her to lunch?
Because I needed to get lunch anyway, so I just asked her, you want to get lunch with me?
Is this during the landmark seminar, or was this like a plan?
I guess next to me, it was like during the sharing or something, or I was after the sharing. It was when they said, go grab lunch or something, and I was like, hey, you want to grab lunch with me?
Okay.
And he was like, sure. And then, all of a sudden, I try to suggest places, and she's like, no, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Oh, I have this great place that I want to go to. And it was like, she was being like, I guess purposely showing disinterest, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, why don't you just say, all right, you got it all figured out, you're the captain. Aye, aye, Captain, where are we going? Like, if she's going to be obnoxious, then be a little bit obnoxious back.
Okay.
Call.
But then, for girls like that, just, like, don't try. If I notice that they're like that, then just try to just stop communication with them, or...
Well, I mean, did you have a clear plan on where to go? Or were you like, oh, where do you want to go?
A little bit of, oh, where do you want to go?
Well, you should have a plan. And if you had more of a plan, then she probably wouldn't have taken over. Some girls are feminine, right?
Yeah.
But they're very strong-willed. So the second that they realize that you're not being masculine, you don't have a plan, you're not leading, they're very eager to step in and tell you what's up. So, you know, if you're going to ask a girl to lunch with you, then have a fucking plan of where to go, even if it's wrong.
Okay, so I would rather be wrong than be indecisive.
Exactly. Nothing is worse than being indecisive.
Okay, I just didn't want a situation where, like, unless they suggest a burger place like Shake Shack, and then she's a vegetarian.
Big deal. Then you make fun of her. Like, cool, we're going to Shake Shack. She's like, I'm a vegetarian. Well, great, they have grilled cheese there. And then she's like, no, I don't want Shake Shack. Be like, well, you're pretty high maintenance, are you? All right. Since you don't believe in killing animals for food, where do you suggest we go? Is there a salad joint around here? Right? Don't be such a pussy. Okay. You don't need to cater to these stupid whores. Like, stop catering to girls. You have no reason to cater them. Stop trying to impress them. Don't give a fuck. If you want to go to Shake Shack, say we're going to Shake Shack. Hey, I'm going to lunch. You're coming with me. We're going to Shake Shack. Oh, you're a vegetarian? Never mind. I don't like vegetarians. You guys are all psycho. I'm just kidding. Where do you want to go? Where do they have salads? That sounds really cool.
Okay.
Everyone else sucks their dick. All right? Everyone else thinks and acts exactly like your default, which is to suck their dick. Oh, where do you want to go to lunch? I didn't want to suggest Shake Shack because you might be a vegetarian. And afterwards, maybe I can pay, and then maybe after that, I can wipe your ass, and then you can go and fuck some other guy. How about that? Only if you want to, though. If you don't want to, that's fine. That's so annoying. Don't do that.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
All right, good. Give less fucks.
I just have a quick question about, let's see, like, if a date is, like, 50 miles away, should I literally just, like, see where she's from and, like, try to find places around there like that the date can be planned, not by her?
50 miles, like, I mean,
yeah,
it's not too far. I mean, don't tell them you're going 50 miles.
Yeah.
No one should know you're going 50 miles except for us.
So, all right. So it says it on like Tinder how far, but I'll just lie. I can just lie and say that I live next door.
I'm not going to ask where you live. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't think people really pay that much attention to the location. Yeah. You know, if you say, she asks you where you live and it's the first date, you might want to lie and say you live wherever you're at. Be like, oh, I don't live far from here. I'm like a mile from here.
Yeah.
If she, you know, she'll probably be like, okay, cool. But if she meddles more and she's like, oh, well, Tinder said you were 50 miles away. Like, yeah, probably. And then if she then still goes, well, all right, well, so you live in town. What streets do you live on? Be like, what are you, a fucking detective?
Yeah, Garmin.
Stalker? Are you going to be parked out front of my house with night vision goggles in a black or white panel van? And then if she still asks you where you live, be like, all right, I live 50 miles away. There's nothing to fucking do. Fuck, this town sucks too, so let's not pretend that you're any cooler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless she's in somewhere that's good. Right.
And then should I still try to plan the date? Like, because I feel like if I ask, like, I'm like, you come here, and then she says, okay, like, there's like a 300% flake. But so she's not going to drive 50 miles because, I don't know, she's not a guy. So then I
plan
feel like.
The date. You should plan the date wherever she is.
Okay.
And there's an app called Hotel Tonight. Hotel Tonight, you can go in the bathroom and you can book a hotel right on the spot. You can basically tell her that, you know, your house is being fumigated or something.
You got a termite problem.
Right. And if she asks you where all your stuff is, be like, you only needed it for one night. Right? So I just pulled on my back, right?
This is the closest hotel.
Yeah. By that point, she's already down to fuck, so it doesn't matter, right? Like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
come
yeah.
back to your, you don't tell her you're going back to a hotel. You're telling her you're going back to your place. You're like, why are you taking me to a hotel? Close my place tonight. My place is
fumigated. You live in a hotel? Yeah, I do.
Hey, so, Robbie. I've actually gotten away with telling them, come on, we're going to a hotel. Jump in my car and start calling hotels.
Oh, yeah, you can get away with that totally, but, you know, you got to be pretty advanced to do that shit. Like, I would never pull what I'm telling Rich to pull, but he's not going to be able to pull off
navigate
like, what
yeah.
you do or what you're doing at this stage. He would be able to pull off what I'm instructing him to do, though. So, you know, there's no way that your frame is going to be strong enough, Rich, at this point in your development, just be like, yo, we're going back to my hotel. Because I just know you're not doing that, right? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not, your game isn't that smooth yet. But eventually yeah, you get there.
It took both balls to ask the one to stand up and tell her that I was checking out her ass.
Yeah, exactly. You're not ready for the hotel maneuver just yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But you for the
2016.
Like, yeah, right around the corner. And then she's walking into the Motel 6, like, oh, yeah, this is my place. Well, it's not really my place. My place is being fumigated, but it's my place for the night. Don't worry, I'll be an 86% gentleman. That's the magic line. that.
What's the app called?
Hotel Tonight.
Hotel Tonight?
Yes.
Solid.
But you definitely don't want to book that hotel, right? Because that could set you back 100. You definitely don't want to book that hotel unless you've already taken her to two or three venues. You're making out, and you know when you'll say, "All right, next stop, we're going back to my place for a nightcap." Don't worry, I'll be an 86% gentleman. If she says okay, or sure, let's go, then you book that shit from your phone in the bathroom or on the car ride home.
And I could literally register as soon as I hit the button, and then you could, like, check in, like, normal.
Yeah, well, you save your payment info in there first. So when you check out, it's like a one-click or a two-click thing.
Like Uber.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a better question is, why don't you move somewhere that doesn't suck?
That's like what we were talking about the other day with the Airbnb.
Yeah, well, what's the hold up? What's the wait?
I'm just being stupid. I need to do it. I need to go on like a bed or something.
Well, I mean, what's stopping you? Do you have the money for furniture?
Oh yeah, actually, that's definitely, I could probably do it in like legitimately in like 2 months. I'll have money.
Okay.
But yeah, so I don't see any reason why I wouldn't do it in 2 months.
Okay. All right, guys. Later.